Child dedication. I just wanted to talk about that for a few minutes. And then we'll bring the families up. And we're going to have to kind of clear off some stuff up here. So when we get ready to do that, if we can have some guys help us do that. But turn in your Bibles, and it'll be up on the screen as well. But Psalm 127. If you want to turn there. Or as I said, read it on the screen above. But Psalm 127, just to read that entire psalm. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. And so that's what the psalmist wrote. Unless the Lord builds the house. And so it really starts with the parents. And are they pursuing God and God's watch care over them in terms of what the home looks like? And that verse 2, it's vain to rise up early, to retire late. I mean, if you're in a job and your employer's wanting you there at 4 a.m., it's kind of important to be there. Otherwise, it could change your whole outlook and your financial stream. And also to retire late. Sometimes extra hours are required, whether you're in construction or the farming and ranch industry or whatever. There's just days that are longer and start earlier than others. But to do that, is God first in that? Or are you doing it for yourself and for what you want to accomplish? And maybe that's not where God wants you to be. I know I've had a couple jobs that I thought, this is what I wanted to do, and God quickly showed me that, no, that's not what he wanted me to do. And that I needed to shape up and start doing what he was after. And so, as parents, what are your goals? And it's okay to have goals. You should have goals. There should be motivation there in terms of what are you pursuing, why are you pursuing it, and what's the outcome that you hope to see from that. But does it all truly honor God and what he is trying to accomplish? What his goal is. There's a Canadian pastor that I've quoted a few times, and right now his name doesn't come to me, but Experiencing God is his book that he wrote. It's a work study. It's a workbook. And he talks about where God is at work, join him there, because that's where he wants you, not the reverse, because if it's the reverse, it's going to fail miserably. And it may cost you dearly. It may just cost you your vehicle or something like that. It may cost you your finances in total. It may cost you your family. Those things happen. And we have to realize, too, there is an evil one that wants to see you fail. So there's that side of it, too. Recognize that Satan is in this to seek and destroy and to kill, and to remove the body of Christ as much as he can. And the key part in that is to remember in Genesis 1:27, God says, let us make man in our image. And so everyone, even those that don't accept Christ, are made in God's image. And so Satan will take those too, although he's more worried about the Christian first. But still, if you know Christ, and that's the key, is Christ first in everything. And I had an old pastor years ago, he drew flannel graphs. For those of you that... You youngsters don't know what those are. Sorry, I got like zero sleep last night, so I apologize, and I'm emotional today. But he put chairs on that flannel graph in a circle, and then he put a chair in the center. And he said, okay, what's in this chair? Maybe that's your motorcycle. Was the motorcycle in the center chair, or is it on the outside? Or you have your house, or your spouse, or your child. Where are they at in that circle of chairs? But which one's in the center? And it has to be Christ. If Christ is not on the throne of your heart and at the center of everything, all of those other things, they may be nice and wonderful and life goes along okay, but at some point, God's going to ask you and you're going to have to appear before a higher throne and give an account of what did you choose and why did you choose and what's the outcome. And it could be devastating. It's going to be eternal one way or the other. And I've shared this, and I've got to get a picture of it. My son Brian and Tess have a bumper sticker on the back of their camper. And it says, eternity, smoking or non-smoking. Like, which way are you going? I know which way I'm going, but which way are you going? I got to get a picture of that and put it up here more often, but because it's really appropriate. But in that, children are a gift to the Lord, or a gift of the Lord. And that is so true. And in terms of creating children, and I'm trying to be very delicate here, but there are acts of intimacy that go with that. Usually. But it's God's gift in that brings that child to that family. And that's just the way God designed it. They are His gift to you. And however long He gives them to you, at some point He will bring them back because they are His kids. And sometimes we forget that. We think, those are our kids. But they are God's kids. And He wants to see what they're going to do, what they're going to become. And so out of that, Proverbs 22:6 comes into play. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's not a guarantee. It doesn't mean that just because you pour your heart and life and the Bible and God's word into them, that they're going to be Christians and live forever and all that kind of stuff. They may reject it for whatever reason. Because it's God who chooses. And when we studied 1 Peter last fall, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, in there it clearly says, God says, I chose you. You didn't choose me. You don't have the power to choose me. And that's a tough subject. What if God doesn't choose your child? And it breaks your heart. But still, God is at work. And what He's asking parents is to train up the child in the way that they should go. What are the gifts and what are the abilities of that child? They're not the gifts and abilities that you have. They may be close, but I've seen a lot of parents, and I tried to do some of that to make your child like you. Not like in terms of personality and that kind of thing, but to behave and do the things that you did. They may be wired completely differently. I'm not an artist. And if one of my children wanted to pursue that, I would probably be like, what are you thinking? Are you brain dead or what? And you can't force them to fit into your mold. It's how did God make them? And what does he want for them? And so it takes a lot of work trying to find out, what are they good at? What are they gifted at? What are their likes? What are their dislikes? And sometimes they may choose to go a totally different path, and that's okay, because it's the way God wired them. Like the arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. God gives. To some, he may give 8, 10. To some, he may give 1. To some, he may give none, which is equally heartbreaking, and that's tough in its own right. But God gives as he wants you to have. And whatever that number is, he blesses, and he works through that. And so it's you as the parent. And we've talked about roles of men and women in terms, and I don't want to go too much into that, but from a Christian standpoint, men and women are equal before the throne of God. They both bear the same or have the same position. But as God charged Adam in the Garden of Eden to watch and to protect, so the man is to protect his wife and not to lord it over her and beat her into submission. That's not what Ephesians chapter 5 says. The man is to love and to give his life, if so called for. And they are to walk together in that marriage. And the wife is to respect. The wife should love her husband, but that's not the scriptural charge. The man is told to love the woman, and that's what scripture says. But then it says, the woman shall respect her husband. You can love someone and not respect them. And it's that level of respect. If that's missing, the marriage will struggle and it may fail if either one of those is out of whack. So how does the wife and husband come to that? And they will not be ashamed when they speak to anyone, their enemies in the gate, their friends, wherever you might be. Your family is your pride. It's your possession. Especially if it's God-related and God-founded in what God intends to do. Okay? So it's kind of a quick synopsis on children are a gift of the Lord.